Good morning to each of you and greetings in Jesus' name. To look around you, to look at the children, to look at fellow Christians, brothers and sisters in the Lord, what would be your desire for them? You know, often when we look around and we have good friends, we have acquaintances, and then we have people that we know about, but they're not really influential in our lives. But what is our desire for those that are near and dear, and even those that we come in contact with over a period of time? You know, we are in the latter stages now of parenting. And so we're entering a new era of seeing our grandchildren, seeing our children parenting. And what is our desire for our children, our married children, and those children that are being born into that home? Well, our desire is probably just like yours. Our desire is that our children would fear God and keep His commandments. Our desire is that they would have a foundational faith that will carry them through this life into eternity, and then they can pass that on to those that follow after. And for those of you that are brothers and sisters, that's our desire for you as well. And I'm hoping that's your desire for me and our family. But a long life's way, as we see throughout Scripture, there is a battle raging between good and evil. And we know that the devil is a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. I want you to turn with me, if you will, to Hebrews chapter 12. The title of the message this morning is The Father's Delight. And I want you to bear with me as I share, because we know chapter 11 of Hebrews is that faith chapter. And it talks about all of those men and women of faith and what they went through in their faith. And as we read towards the latter part of chapter 11, it says, verse 33, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, but others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, more of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in the deserts and in the mountains, in the dens and the caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Look at those people and the conflict that raged and the suffering that they endured. And then we start in chapter 12, verse 1. And it says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits, God the Father, and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastisement for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking at verse 1, throughout the ages, there have been a remnant of faith and faithful people, even in the face of severe persecution and death, as we read there in the latter part of Hebrews 11. Saints continued on in faithfulness, even to the point of suffering. We live in this life. There is no persecution, quote, in our community, in our area, in the states that we have suffered. And yet, will we be faithful? We are surrounded, as you look around you, we are surrounded by an incredible group of people that love God and want to do what's right. They want to live a holy life. And for that, I'm thankful. I'm thankful for each one of you that have chosen Christ and that are striving. But do we know what tomorrow may hold for us? No, but we know what Scripture says. And we know that as Satan is out there, as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, you are his target. Each one of us are targets of him because he wants to destroy your very soul. And yes, we live in the land of freedom and affluence, and we have not suffered any, per se, persecution for many, many years. And yet we know that Scripture says that those that live righteous will suffer persecution. We do face challenges, though. And here in Hebrews, it's talking about being surrounded with a great cloud or group of those that have received the witness of Jesus Christ. You, as you look around you, you are surrounded by that great cloud. You are surrounded by people that want what is best for you spiritually, maybe even physically. And as you look around you, I would imagine that you would want the same for others that are a part of your family or your congregation or your group of friends. and we're surrounded with faithful people. So it says here in this verse, seeing we are surrounded with this cloud of witnesses, with this faithful people, let us lay aside every weight. Let us get rid of that extra weight that's going to hold us back, it's going to hold us down. So, I have a question for you. What are some things that weigh us down? I'm interested in what you have to share. What are some things that weigh us down? Okay? Worry is something that weighs us down sometimes. Some people, maybe more so than others. What else? Busyness. That weighs us down. Temptation for materialism. Thank you. Technology. I spoke about this a couple of weeks ago. Peer pressure. Thank you. Many different voices. They weigh us down. Our own sinful nature, it weighs us down. Intellectualism. The cares of this life. Thank you. Well, the list could go on and on. I listed a few others. Music can weigh us down. Different types of reading material. That can weigh us down or pull our focus off of Christ. Sports. Either participating or following sports. At school, I see clothes, shoes, and hairstyles. I think some of that stuff can weigh us down. And I spoke of pride several weeks ago here. Those are things that can weigh us down. Are they necessarily sin? Not all of them. But it also says in this verse, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily besets us. So what are some sins that easily beset us? I still did not catch that. Car racing, okay? What are some sins that easily beset us? Pride, jealousy, bitterness, self-pity, unbelief, thank you, lack of surrender. I have a few more listed. Okay. Too busy to read God's word. I have bad language, immoral thoughts, covetousness, cheating, gossiping. Someone mentioned jealousy, anger. Someone mentioned, I think, unforgiveness. I don't need to see your hands, but have you struggled with any of these? And I think if we're truly honest, we do have these things that tend to drag us down, to weight us down, or a sin that gets us off track. And when we get distracted by these things, when they take our focus off of what we are actually here for, we are here for a season. As these men and women were here in Hebrews chapter 11, they lived in this life, in this body for a season. And through faith, many of them suffered. But many of them were perfected until the end. Many of them were faithful until the end. And many of them even suffered and died because of their faith. Did they suffer some of those things that weigh us down? Did they suffer with some of those besetting sins? Yes. I truly believe that these men and women recorded here in Hebrews chapter 11 did suffer with many of these things that we're talking about here this morning. But we are here for a certain amount of time to set our focus on Christ, to prepare for eternity, and then to point others that you care about to Him. That's my desire. I'm so glad that someone pointed me to Christ. And I'm so glad that Christ came into my heart. And I want to continue on in faith. And I want that for each one of you, for each one of our children and our grandchildren, and for those that we fellowship with, those that we meet on a day-to-day basis, and even those we meet along life's way. But sometimes we forget or lose sight of the end goal, and we get bogged down with some of these things that weigh us down, some of these besetting sins. And sometimes we get bogged down with the cares of this world that we get in too deep. And then we feel like we can't get out. But there is a way, and that is through Jesus Christ. And it says here in verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. If we focus on Christ, he is the author of this faith chapter. He is the author of our faith. And we see his perfect example. Jesus knew the outcome. We read of Jesus and his outcome. We don't know what our outcome is physically down the road, but each one of us know of our outcome spiritually. And we need to focus on the goal that is set ahead of us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And then we need to pattern our life after him. Because we know that if we are found in faith, and we continue on in faith, and we die in faith, we know what the outcome will be. We will receive that reward, that heavenly kingdom, that eternal presence with God the Father and Christ the Son. And I know that each one of you want that. But it's going to start by faith, and it's going to continue by faithfulness, even in the face of severe trials and persecutions. And we have to lay aside these weights and sins that you all mentioned here this morning and that I mentioned. Our perfect example endured the cross. He faced that shame, and he experienced that rightful place that belongs to him at the right hand of the throne of God the Father. Verse 3 says, "For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds." This verse is saying, think about this. Don't be weary and allow your mind to be weakened. Don't be weary and allow your mind to be weakened. Think about Jesus. Think about what he endured, the contradiction. He endured sinners that spoke against him and railed against him and then beat him and crucified him. But it says in the next verse, "Ye have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin." Basically, what this verse is saying, these verses are saying, is we are striving against sin. And this battle is a battle between good and evil, sin or righteousness, strife or peace. And there will always be a battle while we are here in this life until Satan is cast into that lake of fire and we are carried home to be with the Lord. And the Hebrew writer is saying here, you have not suffered to the point of some of these other people. You have not suffered to the point of shedding your own blood as Christ has, and even some of these men and women before. But Jesus did. And he knew the outcome. And we know the outcome. Are we going to strive to live faithful? We have not suffered any beatings that drew blood. We may have suffered some words. We may have suffered some, I don't know. We may have suffered some humiliation. We may have suffered some other ways of being ridiculed because of our faith. But we have not suffered in any small way in comparison to what Christ and some of these other brothers and sisters that have gone on before. Verse 5 and 6, it says, "And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he received." Whom he receiveth. In Job, we know that Job suffered and he lost, but then in the end, he gained so much more in return. But it says in Job 5:17, "Behold, happy is the man whom God correcteth. Therefore despise not thou the chastening of the Almighty." It's not been a happy thing to enjoy correction for me. But there is an end result. It's the sharpening of stone. It's iron against iron. It's the rock rolling down the river with the sharp, jagged points worn off. Proverbs 3:11-12, "My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction, for whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth." Again, the title of the message is "The Father's Delight." Revelation 3, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent." God's desire, our Father's delight, is that we receive that correction, that we receive this chastening, and that we be not weary, because all of us are going to have some of this along life's way. And again, I don't know of anyone who enjoys that correction or discipline. It goes against our very being, our thoughts, our direction. It puts us in a place where we didn't intend to go, in our flesh. It's painful. And sometimes it's really discouraging. So how in the world can these scriptures say, "Happy is the man, despise not the chastening, don't be weary of correction, and blessed is the man who endures temptation"? How can this scripture say that when our flesh resists that? Well, we know that to endure any of these things, we need the power of the Almighty in our lives through Jesus Christ. That Spirit that we spoke about, that we studied about in the Sunday school lesson, without this power, our carnal self will react to those corrections, to those chastisements, to those sufferings. Our carnal self is going to react with those besetting sins and the things that we are weighed down with. That's the carnality of man. Corrie Ten Boom said, "God's wisdom is my source of power. It will navigate me through the dark times. God's wisdom is my source of power. It will navigate me through the dark times." Is that your source? Is that my source? Are we still being weighed down? Are we still giving in to these besetting sins? Or are we casting that off with the power of Christ? Verse 7 in Hebrews 12, "If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chastens not?" You can do it. You can persevere. You can endure. But it will only be through the power of the Spirit that dwells in you. And God treats each one of us as sons and daughters because He cares for your very soul. He wants you to dwell with Him in eternity. And He wants you to share that good news of Jesus Christ with those around. But he also knows that we will suffer. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons, as those that he loves. He wants us to grow. He wants us to mature. And through that growing and maturing, there's correction, there's discipline, there's chastening. And some of that stuff is very unpleasant. But I want you to think of this. A new baby born into a home is cuddled and carried, fed and changed and taught. And that child grows and learns to walk and talk. And then we lead them by the hand. We carry them for a while, and then we lead them by the hand. And then one day, they tag along behind. And still, we are teaching. We are instructing. And sometimes we are correcting and disciplining. And as that child grows, they follow along and sometimes run ahead. Excuse me. And then we need to call them back and give them instruction, or we call ahead and say, go right, go left, stop, wait. And then as they continue to grow, as they continue to gain knowledge, as they continue to mature, our instruction doesn't always have such clear direction, if you know what I mean. We don't protect them as much, but we still give them guidance. We still care about their soul, about their being. And we are like that with God. God carries us. He instructs us. He leads us. He gives us direction. But he gives us choice. And we know that through that love and discipline of those childhood years, it's not always pleasant. But it is for our good. And it is for the good of our children. God wants what is best for each one of us. It is for our good and maybe even for the good of others when we receive correction or chastisement. It is good for us, but sometimes it is good for others to see how we respond. Will we respond with those things that weigh us down? Or will we respond with those besetting sins? Or will we respond with the power of Christ shining forth in our lives? When others see us persevering under trials, under tribulations, under difficult circumstances. Verse 8, but if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, read what it says there. But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, all of God's children, then ye are bastards and not sons. This is a fairly strong statement, but it is a statement from God's word. And this is saying all are partakers. If we are not receiving some type of discipline, if we are not receiving some type of discipline from God, are we truly sons and daughters of Him? And I don't want to make that a blanket statement. I want to make it a statement that you think about. Because this is a fairly strong statement. If ye be without chastisement, if you are without correction of God and His Word, whereof all of children are partakers, whereof all are partakers, then ye are bastards and not sons. verse 9 and 10. Furthermore, we have had fathers of their flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Why does God chastise us, discipline us? Why does he do that? So that we can be partakers of his holiness. And it says here, we have all had a dad that disciplined us when we needed it. And we gave them a certain amount of respect and reverence and love. How much more should we be obedient and respect, reverence, and love our Heavenly Father who has our best in mind eternally? His discipline is for our profit so that we can be partakers of this holiness, of His holiness. God the Father is perfecting you. God is perfecting His holiness in us through these tough times, like that stone being rolled down the river. Verse 11, now no chastising for the present seemed to be joyous but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. None of us, at least I don't think, enjoys being taken to the woodshed. It hurts. When we suffer that physical discipline, that corporal punishment as young people, as children, it hurts. And our children, as they got older, they would kind of make a little fun of when we would say, this hurts us more than it hurts you. And they would often say, I don't see how that's quite possible. And they said that with a note of humor. And yet they're not there yet. But they will be. And when they have to exercise that discipline, that punishment, it's not going to be fun. But we're looking for the fruit at the end. It hurts our emotional and spiritual being when we are chastised of God. And we feel like sometimes it's more than we can bear. And yet God, in His sovereignty, in His omniscience, is working to perfect you, to perfect me, and to produce a peaceable fruit of righteousness. And I don't know if you've ever seen anyone that is discouraged or downtrodden or downhearted. They kind of have this slumped shoulders, head hanging, slow walk, trudging along. You've seen that before. Hebrews 12:12-13. It says, wherefore, lift up the hands that hang down. Stand up. Put your shoulders back. Walk with a purpose. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Usually when we experience tough times or harsh words, our countenance is visible, is visibly affected, and our bodies seem to carry that extra heavy weight. Tends to, oh. And truly, sometimes it is a heavy load. But God is saying in this verse, don't be downtrodden. Don't be discouraged. Lift up those hands that are hanging down. Pick up that heavy load. Stand up straight. And carry that load with strong legs. Isaiah 35 says, strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Say unto them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. And verse 14, follow peace with all men. This is in Hebrews 12, verse 14. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Do you want to see God? I do. Do we get bogged down? Do we get weighed down? Do we have those besetting sins which bug us? Yes. But when we do it God's way, He will right the wrongs. He will strengthen the weak. He will heal that wound. He will fight our battle. And He will win the war, and we along with Him. And then we will inherit His righteousness, because this is the Father's delight. So I want to close with these last couple of verses. Verse 1 and 2 of Hebrews 12. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. 2 Corinthians 7, verse 1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. And in Jude 24 and 25, now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. It is the Father's delight that we be faithful until He calls us home. May the Lord bless you.